Hello and welcome back to the second season of The Soul's Conquest. I'm super excited for you guys to jump on today's episode because we have another special creative from somewhere in this wide, wide world who is about to share their story, their journey, and their soul's conquest. As you listen to this episode, remember that we are here to inspire, we are here to create, and we are here to conquer. Now let's get on with it, shall we?
Hello, hello everyone. Thank you so much for being here today. We are on the Soul's Conquest in conversation with Caitlin. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
Hi, yes, I'm Caitlin and I'm doing wonderful. I'm just really excited to be on here and connect with someone that's doing the type of work that you're doing. So thank you.
Oh, thanks. People who are listening out there right now, seriously, I'm talking through a thunderstorm here because that's how excited I am to talk with Caitlin. I was like, I can't postpone this. This has to be done. And thank you for being an amazing soul and appearing here. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully you don't blow away or anything during this podcast. But so just a little bit of a background about me. I'm from the Boston area in the States. And I'm currently a freelance designer and brand strategist. Most of my experience in the creative realm has been in advertising agencies, pretty small ones. And about a year and a half ago, I would say now, right when kind of COVID hit, I made the transition to go completely freelance. And it's been very scary and uncomfortable at times, but that's kind of where I'm at now. And hopefully I'm going to be in a position to sort of pivot to working with brands that have really compelling, you know, social, environmental, maybe spiritual, I'm into that stuff, but, you know, getting more clients that I align with in terms of my interests and hobbies and things I'm passionate about. So.
Wow. It's awesome. I do want to talk to you about your journey and why you decided to take that step. But before we get into that, can you take a deeper dive into what you do, like what do you create, share your craft, basically?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, I'm a graphic designer, technically communication designer, however you want to call it. That's what I went to school for. So I do a lot of branding, brand design, logo design, advertising design, website design, packaging, really anything under the sun that's kind of commercial design is something that I'm willing to put my hands on. And in terms of the strategy end of things, I do a lot of brand positioning work, which usually consists of documents that are derived from discovery meetings, which are really fun exercises I do with my clients to just figure out who they are, their personalities, what makes them different. It's really interesting to see how people see themselves and how they want to be seen by the rest of the world or their target audience.
Wow. And why is that important? Why is it important that you create this, I wouldn't say appearances, but these visual aspects of how a brand wants to view itself, and why do you think it is important for you to work on something that will eventually help their clients view them like the way they want to be viewed? If I made any sense out of that, you can just, if I didn't, just butcher it up and pick up whatever you
want. It's a really good question. I believe it's important now more than ever, just because of how saturated markets have become and how much more aware consumers have become at the same time. So when those things are happening in parallel, it is that much more important to dive in, differentiate yourself, and look the part, right? That part comes from the strategic side of what I do, because again, we're so stimulated every single day by what we're seeing and what we're interacting with. It's really hard to get our attention. So I just think it's now more than ever, it's important to at least look the part and be appropriately positioned in a visual way, in a strategic way, in whatever market you're in.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. I love that you're trying to do this. You're trying to work sustainably with companies that care about the environment, about sustainability, about spirituality, and that's awesome. But before we get into that, can you share how you started your journey? Like, where did your journey begin? How did you start? And where did
it go? If we want to go way back, I was literally 4 years old drawing, basically before I could talk well. I always was drawing things. You know, I would be at the coffee table in my living room when I was a kid, whatever show was playing, and I was just in, you know, my printer paper with my Crayolas and whatever I had, and just drawing things. I love to draw marine life. That was kind of my thing. And then I kind of wanted to be a marine biologist. And then I was like, wait, no, I'm really bad at science. And, you know, I just kept drawing. Like, drawing was always something that was a part of who I was. I think it was how I expressed myself and my interpretation of how I saw things. And it also kind of indicated like how much I actually look at things. And because a lot of what I did was from an example, I would draw from a still life, or I'd draw from some type of example, and the way I interpret it always kind of fascinated me. Mm-hmm. So that's something that that always kind of stuck. And as I kind of approached, you know, the idea of going to college, I started taking more classes in high school. I was lucky enough to go to a public school that had a really great art program. And I was told, like, hey, like, you should maybe try, like, exploring design. Like, I feel like the way you render things and draw things, like, you, it lends itself to something in the design realm. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll try it. So I applied to a couple universities and got into my reach school. And I kind of went in, you know, undeclared. I was thinking about doing architecture as, like, because I like drawing houses and stuff too. Then I realized very slowly I was bad at math also. I went from, like, industrial design to communications design, which is what I graduated in. And it was really hard and cutthroat, and I almost failed out. But I had, like, a moment where things just kind of clicked. And I really realized I was able to sort of apply my artistic ability and match it with the idea of, you know, being in a commercial space and creating something not for myself, but for someone else that has a little bit of me in it. Yeah. And I still think I do that to an extent, but I think that was when I was like, okay, this is something I could do for a long time because it can be a lucrative profession. So it really worked out. I was super lucky with how things unfolded. And just going to the school that I did too, just having that diversity, of people in my program, and the exposure I got was just, I was super privileged. So yeah, it all started from drawing whales at my coffee table and graduating from a school that I'll be paying for the rest of my life.
Girl, you know, when you were talking about the story, I remembered the story you told me about how your logo came into being and how it still has a part of you in it, right? Like, even though it is your logo, it still has a part of the marine side, like fishes and stuff. So do you want to talk about it a bit more?
My logo?
Yeah.
So I'm so glad you saw that little marine hint in it.
Yeah.
And it can be interpreted in a variety of different ways, which is, I think, why it resonated with me so much. But one is kind of the idea of, like, a fish, something pulling from something I was passionate about, and just the symbology of marine life is something that I resonate with a lot. And it also has this, like, idea of a ripple effect, if you look really closely, and this very upward sort of progressive motion to it, which I thought was sort of fitting. And it's funny, just to give you a backstory on how that logo came. My senior year of college, we had to obviously execute our own logos and our personal brand. And I had such a hard time with it because I was trying to be something I wasn't. And I was, like, up against, you know, all my peers being critiqued. It was pretty brutal, honestly, the critiques that we would have. And my professor was like, what are you doing? Like, this doesn't feel like you at all. Like, what? Like, no, go home. Like, go figure it out. And honestly, I just kind of stripped everything that I worked on before that and just started, you know, from the drawing board all over again. And that mark came out so naturally. And I'm like, what the hell? So it was kind of confusing that, you know, when sometimes when you try so hard, it feels forced. And then when you just like let things go and like let your soul, whatever it is speaking to you, speak and articulate itself in that form, which was my logo. So I'm thankful that you've noticed those little nuances in that mark, because it's something I think I'm going to keep for a fairly long time.
Yeah, that was so beautifully told. I couldn't have shared that story any better. Like, me being a writer, I was like, words sound so pretty. So it was so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. I do want to ask you right now, in your journey, you want to work with companies that are into sustainability and environment and spirituality. Why is it that you want to work with these people? Like, why does it matter?
So there's probably two responses to this. Why I do is because I think that there's a way for me to harness my passion and my skill set to help brands that align with those things. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like it's an obligation that I have. I feel like a part of me was put on this earth to work with people like that and to help them make as much impact as possible for whatever their mission is. And I also just feel at the same time, we all have a responsibility. And I think as a creative, you should hold that responsibility dearly, just because you are controlling how people see things for the first time. Yeah. And I don't think even I think about that as much as I should, but I think it's a responsibility we all should hold pretty dearly, because it's powerful. You know, what we see every day, whether it's a digital ad, a TV ad, whatever format it takes, it has an impact, and it can really shift culture. So that's a big deal. And I want to be as mindful as possible when I take on clients or work with brands that I feel proud of that and my part in that. So, yeah.
Well, I want to mix up a couple of questions here, and I wanted to ask you, these were some of the words that you said in the previous answers, and that was, it was important for you to be authentic, your authentic self, because when you didn't force it, it came naturally. So how is being authentic and being, you know, working with clients that align with your values, that make you feel proud of working with these companies and brands and people, how does that translate to your work?
Oh man, that is a really good one. It transforms my work. I get so much more invested in what I'm doing, and I go above and beyond to the point of it probably not being healthy sometimes, because I get so obsessed and like immersed in what I'm doing. So yeah, I mean, when I work with a client that I feel has a really great compelling product or mission, or just has really great values, treats their team members right, like you can just feel things from people when you get on a call with them, right? And when you have meetings, and you can tell that some people aren't matching up to what they're saying, and then some people you can genuinely feel it from, really, I think, a spiritual sense, that they are truly like in line with their values, with their actions and their product and their everything that comes with them. And that it's so energizing, because it's like this two of your worlds are coming together and forming this really powerful one. And there's really like no sensation like that. I know I sound probably a little dramatic, and I'm sure you can relate when you work with certain people who like just, oh wow. Like, I feel like we in a sense have a very similar like energy,
right?
Value them. Yeah. And why we're having these conversations, it's energizing. Right. You know, you feel like liberated in a way, because you're like, ah, this exists. Like, I can actually work on something like this and actually, like, you know, make a living off of doing something like this. Mm-hmm. So that was a very long-winded answer, but
No, it wasn't. I loved it. It was passionate. It felt like you and, you know, like you were saying, I wanted to say that, you know, we connected because of Brian. Thank you, Brian. Yeah, but it was so good because, you know, I connected with you instantly. Like, I remember telling my mom about you that, you know what, I just met this.
You told your mom about me?
Yeah. I was like, yo, this girl, her energy is on the next level, you know. I feel so privileged to speak with her because I can see that she's meant for great things. And just speaking to you, you know, I was like, wow, I have to have this girl on my podcast. I want to share your energy with me.
I feel very similar about you as well. Takes two, right?
Yeah, it takes two. Awesome. So, I don't want to ask you, why is it important for you to feel this way about your projects? And if you could, how many projects like this would you take in the future? Like, if you had an abundance of projects that were in the spirituality and sustainability realm, to name a few, how many of these projects would you take? And do you think you could get, like, overwhelmed or burnt out because of the amount of passion it takes? Because it does take passion, right? Like, when we are working on projects like this, we try to give it our all plus more. Mm-hmm. So, do you think you would, like, take a lot of these projects, or how much of a percentage would you take if you had the opportunity to choose and really select what you're working on?
Absolutely. Yeah. In an ideal scenario, it wouldn't be too many, just because I would want to really put all my eggs in the baskets that I had, just because that's what people deserve when they work with you. But obviously I'm not there yet. I'm just sort of beginning my journey on my own.
Yeah.
And it's a balancing act in terms of how much energy to invest where, but I'm trying to manifest a future where I have 3 or 4 clients at once, and it totally depends on what the scope of work is. So, mm-hmm. you know, a rebrand, that's hours, weeks, months of work. Sometimes, you know, websites, same thing. Like, it depends what the deliverable is, and how much work goes into those. But it would be really nice to have a good balance of, you know, someone maybe in the spiritual space, someone maybe in, you know, holistic wellness, or you know, a really sustainable mission or a social mission. And I'm not afraid to do anything, you know, political either. I think a lot of designers are like, I'm staying away from anything political. And I think that there are a lot of topics in politics that are important to how we live as humans, and that matters to me. So I'm not going to shy away necessarily from things like that if it's something I align with.
Yeah.
So that might be a different, you know, response than people are typically used to getting.
Yeah.
Because that topic seems sort of, you know, depending where you live too. Like, it's very, it's iffy. But yeah, it's really, you know, having a good variety of, like, the different things I'm passionate about. And, like, that would be the most ideal situation, is to have that variety. And yeah. I think with that, you keep learning. And that's the other thing I want to make sure that continues to happen throughout my career, is that even though I'm on my own, it can be very easy to, like, isolate and, you know, not take on other things. And mm-hmm. it's just, that is so toxic, I think, as a creative or whatever. You have to keep opening yourself up to things, and sometimes I have to, like, force myself to do it because you get complacent. And I think when I manifest the idea of getting to work with that many different clients, that keeps me on my toes a little bit, and it makes me keep research, keep learning, keep talking to people, and staying on top of these things. I feel like it's part of my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. That was beautifully answered. So I want to ask you, let's imagine you're starting a new project. What do you hope to achieve before starting a new project?
What am I looking to achieve when I start a new project? I'm looking to achieve a solid relationship with my client first and foremost, because if you don't have that, I'm learning the project doesn't really go anywhere anyway.
Yeah.
Because if you can't instill trust and provide reassurance that you're on their team, like they succeed, you succeed. If that is missed, the whole project goes out the window.
Yeah.
So first and foremost is the relationship, the trust. And you know, once those things are established, things go relatively smooth. And obviously the ultimate goal is to have them achieve their financial goals, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why people do this type of work, and that's something that will never go away. Mm-hmm. But you know, what if we can surpass just the financial goals? What if we can be a disruptor? What if we can change the way people see things? Mm-hmm. What if we can push it that much further than just the ROI?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what I'm thinking about too. And just, yeah, taking it to another level if they're open to it.
Yeah.
Which hopefully
they will be, because I love that answer, right? Like, oh my God, being the disruptor, that sounds so positive, so destructive, but so positive at the same time. And I love it because
yeah, like a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah. And oh my God, I love it. And what do you hope to, you know, like, let's say you finished your project, what do you hope that people viewing your project will feel like? And I could talk about like this one common emotion that you hope that people will feel when they look at your project. If you could specify or think about what that is for you, tell us a bit more about it.
Yeah. So I think it depends on, the projects, because we can get really specific with that. But overall, I want the customer or the consumer, depending on who the real decision maker is and who's actually using the product or service, and the client to feel heard. And I know that sounds so simple, but at the same time, there's so much happening in advertising where there's a lot of assumptions being made about what people want to hear, and the message doesn't stick. You have to understand the person. It's a person.
Yeah. <you're talking laughs> yeah.
What their needs are, what they want, what their thinking styles are when they're interacting with the brand, what's going on in a culture context, societal context, all those things matter. And I hope that whether it's a small mom and pop shop that I'm doing branding for, that their local customer comes in and feels like they understand them more because of the work I helped them with. Because when you think about it, once you develop, you know, understanding and people feel heard, so much healing happens, even outside of just branding and all that. But like, if we just focus more on just having each other feel more heard, I feel like magic happens. So I think that's kind of something I'm thinking about more intentionally when I do my work, you know, not just my client that they're getting their need met, but who they're talking to and who they're trying to engage. So yeah.
That was beautiful. I love that you spoke about being heard. While you've answered this, I want you to take a deeper dive into this. And why is it important for you as a creative that people's voices are heard? And you are playing a big role in making that happen. Why is it important for you as a creative?
That's such a profound question. And
thanks.
No, you're making me really think about it. And I feel like there are a lot of communities that have been oppressed or silenced or hushed, however you want to put it. And I think branding and advertising in a way has the ability to bridge those gaps and acknowledge those things and do good with them, and maybe help a community or a group of people that have been oppressed or overlooked or ignored, because it matters. We all matter. And I think that that's not something we always think about when we approach branding. And I hope that I have more opportunities to help brands address those things. It's one of those things when we elevate everybody, everyone mm-hmm. is elevated. You know what I mean? These holes of like, you know, communities and groups of people that are way below the baseline, it's like, well, why do we deserve to be above it? You know, it's like,
you can
totally address those things.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. That's a powerful mission that you have. And I'm so honored to be speaking about this with you and, you know, sharing your mission on this podcast, on this platform. I hope that a lot of people hear this and feel compelled to make sure that people are being heard and to take those decisions that allows others to be heard, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. I think, you know, you using this platform the way you are, even just now, as we go through this conversation, it's making me think about things a lot deeper. And, you know, when you say things out loud, there's a power to it. And it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, I'm saying all these things, but it's also a reminder that, like, I still need to adhere to all these things myself. I am not by any means perfect. I am just beginning. And it's kind of like an accountability thing. You know, when you iterate it out loud. So I just appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. And I love what you said, right? Because if you hear some of my earlier podcasts, the first season, basically, and if you read some of my blogs, a lot of times, or even my Instagram posts, a lot of times you'll see that I'm writing. That, you know, this is something that I go through, and this is not just for me to tell you guys that this can happen. This is like a reminder for myself that I have been through this, I can get out of it, and I can do it again. So it's like a powerful thing. Like you said, you know, when you say it out loud, it becomes a reality. So what's stopping you from saying it out loud? That's the question.
And, you know, I think too, being vulnerable as well, has that same sort of effect. And I feel that from you and your work, you are very vulnerable, and I think that translates into authenticity. And I know that that word has kind of been watered down over time, you know, but you can just tell you're living in your true self, you know, and that's, I think people can feel that. And I think vulnerability is just a gateway of getting there.
Yeah, I hear you, girl, because seriously, like, okay, so if you guys sign up on my newsletter, I know I'm plugging myself in right now, but this was, this was genuinely the topic of this week's newsletter, about how being vulnerable is so often mistook for a weakness, but I see it as strength. And it was not an easy decision to be vulnerable, right? It's like, are you crazy? Yeah, like, why are you being vulnerable? But I feel like it's so important, because at the end of the day, people think that keeping up wearing these masks, being out there wearing these masks and like, you are so brave, it's so wise said. While it is important, a lot of times, especially right now, you know, the youth is connecting with people who are being vulnerable, who are being out there and who are saying, yo, this scares the hell out of me. Like, like, oh my god. And there's so much power in that, because that makes you relatable. That makes people not feel bad about themselves. Because, you know, when you see all these people being, you know, fake and being like, yo, nothing sucks in my life, everything's awesome, except for what I said. While you cheer these people on, somewhere deep down, you're also wondering, there's something wrong with me. Like, am I the only person feeling this way? Yeah.
Absolutely. And we all feel that. And I think that kind of goes back to a little bit in what I was talking about in the beginning, how we're all just saturated with, like, you know, are stimulated by these sources. And a lot of them are that. It's like this picture perfect, video perfect, you know, that there's TikTok and everything else, realities happening. And I even see it now that I'm sort of in, like, engaged in the social network of people in my industry. And at first I was like, oh my god, do people really not have, like, the same issues and the same, like, hiccups that I do? And then slowly finally I started to see those people being more vulnerable, and then it gives you permission to start being more vulnerable, and then you have these extremely meaningful conversations that are like healing, transformative, insightful, and it's just, it leads to so much beauty, even though it's so scary to say certain things, because yeah. you don't know how the repercussions are going to be, you know, from potential clients, people you've already worked with, friends. It's just like, it's a tough juggling act. I'll have to read that that post that you released. It's funny that we just brought up vulnerability and that you're
yeah.
So,
yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. P.S. if you guys hear a lot of dogs barking, that's just my puppies having fun being jealous about the love that they're receiving. So if you do hear them fighting, there's no murder happening, there's nothing happening. Nothing serious happening, it's just them being their crazy little jealous selves, but just putting it out there.
I showed me a picture of them and they're absolutely adorable. I actually have two dwarf rabbits.
Yeah.
In the next room. So once in a while you hear them like chewing on something.
That's so sweet.
But all good.
Awesome. So talking about vulnerability, I want to ask you, what were some of the obstacles that you faced as a creator in your journey, and what were some of the solutions that you came up with to overcome said obstacles?
Yeah, this was another really thought-provoking mm-hmm. question. And when I was thinking about it, and when I'm still thinking about it, I keep like circling around and like trying to figure out what all those things are, and I think it all comes back to me. Like, I feel like I'm the obstacle in a lot of ways. Like, don't get me wrong, I've been in situations where, you know, it's been out of my control, and that's that. But I think my self-doubt, my confidence, and I know that sounds so cliche, and not knowing how to harness my sensitivity,
mm-hmm.
And taking things personal and taking on everybody else's energy as if like I have to fix it, yeah. or I have to figure out what's going on or what I did wrong. And I think that also, you know, that manifests in my career and like workplaces I've been in my relationships, my personal relationships. And I know the question's more about, you know, my career, but I really do think it's this confusing idea of, not having the self-worth that I should,
mm-hmm.
and overcoming that has been so hard.
Yeah.
So hard. Yeah. And I'm still trying to overcome it. I'm digging up past traumas. I'm digging up a ton of different, maybe reasons, thinking styles, attachment styles, that I've developed over time that do manifest in my career. And, it's been a process, but like I work with a therapist consistently who is very into spirituality and,
mm-hmm.
You know, my interests, and we align. It took years to find someone like that.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, I really just try to work on myself as much as possible. Perhaps I'm a little obsessive about it. But podcasts, you know, books, there's this book, I think it's The Untethered Soul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. I think it's Michael Singer. I hope that they don't hear this. whatever that book was, Untethered Soul, was a pivotal moment, mm-hmm. When I finished that book in my healing journey.
Mm-hmm.
It triggered a lot, and it triggered a lot of self-exploration. So yeah, I think ultimately it's been me and how I interpret the world around me as being a highly sensitive person, mm-hmm. which took me a while to figure out. I'm like, why am I such a baby? Why do I take things so personally? Why do I care so much? Why do I go above and beyond to the point where I completely drain myself? I'm pouring from an empty cup. Like, why am I doing this? And I met with a spiritual healer about 2 years ago, and she's like, Caitlin, you're an empath. You're highly sensitive, and it can be a blessing and not just a curse.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Two sides cool. of the same coin kind of thing.
Yeah, like, tell me more. Yeah. So yeah, I really do think it's, you know, been myself, but then I've also been in situations that, you know, I've had to make a decision based off of like my beliefs, and that wasn't necessarily what others wanted to hear. And that's happened in the workplace before. That was tough. That was probably a big moment for me that sort of hinted at how this could happen, you know. And outside of that, though, yeah, it's pretty much like how I'm interpreting things and how I need to look inward and heal. And then the obstacles don't seem as huge, right? They're just things to move through.
Yeah.
But that's so long-winded. So much there.
No.
I could talk about it forever, but...
No, I hear you, because something you said kind of rang a bell in my head when you said that, you know, it felt like you were pouring out of an empty cup. I was working with one of the beta clients for my program, for Kasturi, that I've told you about. And, you know, she said the same thing that, you know, while she loves giving, it's like she's never receiving. And there's like, and, you know, like, it's not something huge. She didn't even realize it. And I was like, is this something that you feel that, you know, you're always giving, but you're never receiving? She's like, yeah, I do. And I was like, imagine this. Imagine that you have this, you know, cup of, what's your favorite thing to drink?
Oh man, I like coffee.
Yeah, okay. So you have this cup of coffee and you're pouring this into like 10-15 cups, right? Because you're a giver, you love to give. You're pouring it. But, you know, there's this kind of block in your mind that you're not receiving it from anywhere. But I asked her, I challenged her to think about this, that if you kept giving so much, how was the cup refilling? How did you still manage to have like a full cup of coffee at the end of the day to give to more people? It's like, yeah. But, you know, there are times when you realize that you are not aware of where you're receiving from. You know, you have this full cup of coffee that you keep pouring, but there still remains a full cup of coffee that you can pour to other people. But you don't stop to think, because there's a block in your head thinking, you know what, I'm not receiving from anywhere. But if you're not receiving from anywhere, how are you giving? Because you've blocked all your thoughts as to where the receiving is coming from. Because, you know, in the giving, you stop being grateful about giving, and you stop being grateful about receiving. So that was like a thing that I told her that really shook her, and I don't know, I just wanted to share it with you. Hopefully anyone.
No, absolutely. It's so relevant, and it's something to, you know, think about.
Yeah.
Especially anyone listening to this that feels like they get into those patterns of giving from a place that you don't even have anything to give from, because you're just so caught up in people pleasing and all those aspects, societal pressures, whatever. Yeah, you really need to dig deep and figure out, like, do I even have this?
Yeah.
Like, is this like escaping from my empty cup? Because I think that's another thing too. People try to escape.
Right.
They
give from nothingness. Yeah.
She's lucky that you had, she had you to remind her of that powerful message.
Yeah, I hope she had fun with it, because I was just like, and you know, there are times when, and this is why I love talking to people, and that's because, you know, when I'm having conversations like this with you here on this podcast, it, sometimes you say things that you don't realize, and like, there's a moment when you look back and you're like, did I actually say that? Like, you don't understand where that message comes from, you know, like where that download just happened. You say things and you're like, what, where did that come from? But you know, you're saying
I'm gonna say that like 9 times as I like listen back to this, and people are probably gonna be like, why didn't you say that? It's just like,
yeah,
you can't win. I mean, I tend to, I know, I don't know about you, but I'm very vocal and open about things, and sometimes I don't always think about how I'm saying it and my delivery, and that's been an issue in the past. I would be lying if it hasn't. But you know, it's the intention that's there.
Yeah.
not bad by any means.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's been a flaw of mine. for sure.
Yeah, but at least you're working on it, at least you're aware about it. So I think that's the important thing that you need to remind yourself, that you're constantly working on it. That's important.
Yeah, yeah, another thing to constantly work at.
Yeah. Awesome. So I want to ask you this, as this is a spiritual podcast, do you have any spiritual or self-care routines that you like to do in your work life as well as in your personal life?
Yeah, yeah, I have a few, actually.
Go ahead.
So I'm a very big into yoga.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something I think that was happening in parallel with sort of the past 2 years of what I refer to as like an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I digress a little bit, but I feel like this idea of a spiritual awakening is painted in this light of like, this is this magical, like euphoric event in your life. And it's just, that's not how it's been at all for me. It's been the hardest. Like this, the awakening is hard.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, the yoga, like the podcasts, the books, conversations, like we're having, you know, really trying to get connected with nature when I can. And that's mm-hmm. kind of why I made the move I did. I was from Boston and it's cold up there a lot of the time. And down here, mm-hmm. I'm able to be outside more. I'm outside of Charlotte right now. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the lake, and I noticed that from a spiritual sense, I connect with water.
Mm-hmm.
I've always noticed that. So being away from the ocean is a little difficult for me, but being near some body of water is very healing. And I think that is something that I kind of consider in my practice, is getting on the water and near the water when I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just trying to take adventures, whether it's traveling or like going for a walk in a different neighborhood. Like,
yeah,
my neighbor's dog, sometimes she has this
massive
Great Dane, and I'm like, Moose, let's go here or let's go here. And just scenery, I think, and taking it in. And a lot of times, like, I'll go on walks and I'll just be in my head and not even like conscious of like my surroundings, and that's mm-hmm. like the opposite of what I'm trying to do. So I think it's when you're like on those adventures, taking it in, like absorbing mm-hmm. what is around you and like the beauty. Like I go outside on my porch and I didn't notice there was like a hummingbird that came every 10 minutes until like a month ago, you know? And it's like, that's a spiritual practice to me. Like you're seeing these other forms of life in a way that you didn't before. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like those little things. And then therapy, mm-hmm. therapy is just as much a mental practice as a spiritual practice.
Mm-hmm.
And diving into like wellness and like holistic healing, I think is something that I'm really interested in, like oils and, you know, things that come from the earth that ground you. That's been really healing for me. So there's a ton of different ways I do it. Sometimes I just have to be more consistent about it. I have so many like me, I want to try everything, but mm-hmm. you know, there are definitely things that I definitely go to the most, which I think is like moving my body through yoga.
Yeah.
Taking care of myself, eating well, you know, using my oils, things like that. So.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love that you have this crazy adventure. I love that you're connected with water bodies, because it's so awesome to know what element really pulls you in and, you know, heals you. And
what's yours?
I don't know. I'm still experimenting, to be completely honest. Because there are days when I just love the earth and I'm like, wow. And then there are days when water is something that heals me. So I think
it changes, right? It can change.
Yeah, it can change. Right? I do like to think of myself as the avatar. And I mean, if you have seen Avatar the Last Airbender, I like to think myself as the avatar that can, you know, use and utilize the other elements in my healing journey. And
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so cool.
It is awesome. I love to talk about avatar, and I think if I do go on about Avatar the Last Airbender, I'll take over this podcast, and I don't want that to happen. So
it's your podcast, by all means.
Yeah. it is something that I am thinking of. So hopefully in the future, I'll let you guys know whenever it happens if I do think of utilizing different characters from the TV show and, you know, use that as learning moments. But let's circle back to you. I want to ask you, what was one of your soul's conquests and what is shaping up to be your current soul's conquest?
I think I have so many souls. Well, I actually, you know, when we say soul's conquest, like, to me, I interpret it as, like, your soul is always on a conquest.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, I feel as though your body and, like, yourself is just, like, a vessel mm-hmm. for your soul.
Yeah.
So, whatever it wants to do, it's gonna find its way to do it, right?
Yeah.
And when you fight it, like, you know, you're gonna feel it. But I think right now, my soul's conquest is continuing to be going back to the idea of harnessing my sensitivity in a productive way, and hopefully to help others, whether it's through branding and creativity or exploring more spiritual practices. I forgot to mention that I have my Reiki 1 and 2. I'm not a Reiki master yet, but I do sort of want to deepen that a little bit more and explore that practice and see how maybe I could help people with that, or at least the ideology behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just finding ways to harness, like, these parts of you that were weak points in your eyes or flaws, mm-hmm. and using them to your advantage, and then to, you know, help other people and create impact in that way. And there's so many ways that that can translate. And right now I'm trying to at least work with more brands, like I was talking about before, that have, like, a nonprofit and things like that. And being in a place where I can actually volunteer my services, you know, it feels way better to do that than to just throw money at something.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, I think my soul is trying to navigate me to do. But yeah, I just feel like there's probably so much more that my soul is trying to accomplish through my vessel.
Yeah.
I guess, that I haven't acknowledged yet, because I still feel like I move mm-hmm. too fast.
Yeah.
And I'm not really, like, dialing in and tuning into it all the time. And sometimes she really yells at me and I don't.
Yeah.
That soul's gendered, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah No, I hear you. That is powerful. Okay, I want to ask you this. What is something that has happened in your life recently that has impacted you?
Oh yeah, there's a few things.
Mm-hmm.
I 2 years ago, and this is getting really vulnerable and I don't typically talk about this, but I was hospitalized for a mental illness, you know, anxiety, and that experience was pretty transformative. It showed me how much healing I needed to do. And I think that's what truly embarked me on this journey, as deep as I am into it now. I was teetering with it before, but once my mind kind of hijacked and I got to a really low place and saw others in a very similar spot, I think it was like, oh shit, we have a lot of work to do, mm-hmm. you know, not just me, but, like, the fact that we end up in these states anyway, and, like, what that means about our culture, the way we live our lives. There's so many philosophical, you know, assumptions you can make about stuff like that, but that was definitely rock bottom, I would say. But unfortunately, I think, at least for me and my personality type, it takes, like, something like that for you to, like, all right, let's, like, take back the reins here, and, like, use this to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that was probably the first event that changed my life. And then, honestly, this pivot I made to doing my own thing and freelancing and being in the romantic relationship I'm in now, I think those two things have been extremely transformative. You learn so much about yourself in a romantic relationship, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm now, like, it, all of your like inner children that were never addressed come out. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, but it's someone like putting a mirror up to you to like see those things about yourself and, you know, just address that this is another thing I need to start to try to heal it. So lucky to be in a partnership where we both value that experience of being in a partnership.
Yeah.
So that continued event, hopefully it'll be continued for a long time.
Yeah.
Listen to this and be like, why did you say all that? No, he's not.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, being responsible for like my outcomes as a professional, like, whoa, that's been so there's really kind of three big umbrella topics of, of things that have changed my life.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I know how difficult it can be to share stuff like this, but thank you so much for sharing that. Seriously,
I feel safe talking to you. I feel safe.
Oh, thank you.
I as much as like I don't I hesitate to talk about that stuff. We, most of us have a story. And like, willing to talk about, like, I honestly right now feel like, you know, this weight. So I just appreciate, you know, feeling safe enough to relinquish that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. One last thing. What is the one last thing that you would like to leave my listeners with?
Yeah. I think the one thing, because this applies to all areas of your life, is that nothing is linear. Nothing, like, ever. I think we have this expectation, and this goes back to what I mentioned about the awakening, is, like, it's this pivotal moment where it's, like, peace, joy, rainbows, like, liberation, and it's, like, a roller coaster. And I feel like that's how healing is, that's how your career can be, that's how your relationships can be, and I think once you own the fact that nothing is linear, things, the real like dips, right, don't feel as bad.
Because
you're just like, if I just accept that this is how life goes, just like feelings, they ebb and flow. So don't highs and lows in your life. And it takes like the lows to really embrace the highs and like vice versa. And it builds empathy. So like this non-linear journey is really a blessing in disguise.
But
the expectation of having a linear journey is what pigeonholes you. It pigeonholed me. Because I feel like, oh my God, like I'm having a really bad day. Like I'm so anxious. Like, you know, I'm going back to where I was. Like I'm going to be hospitalized again, or I'm going to have, you know, really uncomfortable emotions again. And it's like, no, it's just a bad day. Right? Like if you just kind of be like, accept that you're having a bad day, don't shame yourself for it, and just like hope for the best. It's just like a little bit easier. And I think that for me, just accepting that has been pretty transformative. And I hope that that's a good takeaway. Cause I kind of wish that, you know, someone probably did tell me that at some point and I just didn't listen. So hopefully it resonates with people.
Yeah. I know it will. That was a powerful message to end this podcast on. Thank you so much for being here, sharing your journey, being vulnerable, and talking about things that I know can be really difficult, but still doing it so that you, your journey gets heard, so that other creatives facing similar journeys or walking similar journeys and facing similar emotions are heard. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you. Like I said, it's been an absolute blessing meeting you and having this platform. And I always feel like with, you know, these podcast things, I'm like, oh, I want to talk about you too. Like, it's kind of weird, but you know, we'll definitely touch base soon. But seriously, I appreciate being here so much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey Conquerors, thank you for staying here till the end. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode, today's story, and today's journey. If you did, please feel free to rate and review me on Apple Podcasts or reach out to me at Instagram at Madhurima, that is MADHURIMA _ Soul Coach. Feel free to take a screenshot of the newest episode release tag me and put it up on your story with your review so that I can feature you on my Instagram. It would be my honor to do that. It would be my honor to share your perspective on what you thought of this beautiful podcast. Remember, we are here to inspire. We are here to create. We are here to conquer. See you. Bye.